The Springboks have put in a much better display against Italy in the second test in Gqeberha, or Port Elizabeth as it is still known on the N2. And what's more, it's a nice birthday present for me as well. But it's still not quite what we have come to expect from our world champions. And in this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I break down what was good, what was better, and what still falls short of expectations. Before kickoff, there was a beautiful gesture for Willy Leroux on the occasion of his 100th test. Running out by himself, there was a lovely banner with his face on either side, reading Dunkey, thank you, Inkosi. Another thing before kickoff was the delegation meeting the players before the match. It included our sports minister, Gayton McKenzie, and SARU president, Mark Alexander. I'm not entirely sure who the other two were, but I think it's so unnecessary. Greeting the players before the match should be reserved for the president of the country, or the king, queen, or emperor in the cases of some other countries, like the UK and Japan, for example. So if it's not Cyril Ramaphosa in our case, or say Charles III when England are playing, then it's something I think we can do without. It's just an exercise in self-importance, in my view. Right, so we kick off. And what a weird way to start the match. Marnie Lebok with a chip kick to kick off, which Andre Esterhazen collects. It only went about 4 meters, which of course meant we'd have to scrum because it didn't go 10 meters. So we were penalized. It was an Italian scrum. And it's a shame it never took place because we couldn't set properly. So the Italians escaped, so to speak. But I loved the smirk on Dr. Rossi Erasmus's face. But the intent and the plan was clear. We wanted to show them who was boss. But we would get our chance in the 4th minute after a Jasper Visser knock-on, which actually led to a non-try by Peter Steph de Toy. How did this first scrum of the match go? First attempt, collapsed. Second attempt, we pushed them hard, but also collapsed. Arguably a bit of over-eagerness, and so a penalty to the Azzurri. 2 or so minutes later, another scrum after Willy Leroux knocked on in the tackle by Ross Vincent, and I'd say that we saw parity in the first full scrum of the match. Italy would have been happy with that, let's be honest. But in yet another early knock-on, this time by an Italian, we would get the put-in, and again, it collapsed. Although the Italians were deemed to be the culprits. No matter though, as we broke away, moved the ball to Edwin van der Merwe, who made some serious meters before passing to Makazole Mapimpi, who couldn't quite finish it himself, and so put Grant Williams through for the first try of the evening. Marnie Lebok dragged his conversion, so it was 5-0. In the 16th minute, we had our second try, another scrum that didn't yield any major result. Saw Williams get the ball out quickly, and it was pretty old school, actually, as the ball moved its way down the line to the right wing, Edwin van der Merwe, who finished in the corner expertly.
Class players, the class wingers we have in that position. Has he done enough this time? Oh, happy days!
The only negative is it presented Lebok with the most difficult of kicks for a right footer from the right hand side touchline, and he sent it wide. Jasper Visser was then red carded in the 22nd minute for a headbutt on Danilo Fischetti. Doc looked shocked in the coach's box, but I'm afraid you can't do that. Visser and Fischetti got into a little bit of a tussle. It appeared to be handbag stuff, really. And I'm guessing Fischetti must have said something to Jasper to provoke him. Regardless, you cannot headbutt an opponent. And so, we were down to 14 men. And that makes it very difficult for us to put in a proper performance after that. Because once you're down to 14 men for the rest of the match, it becomes a case of adjusting and game management. But at the same time, what an opportunity for Italy. They've never beaten the Springboks in South Africa, and now they would get to play against us for an hour with a man advantage. So the initial solution was to just go 7v8 in the scrums. Well, that only lasted one scrum. Next scrum, Marco van Staden went to eighth man, and Andre Esterhazen slotted in at flank. And that perhaps, ironically, the Italians were penalised for illegal scrummaging. A couple of minutes later, we saw Manuel Zuliani and Fischetti doing great work at the breakdown for Italy. I told you guys during the Six Nations, Fischetti is not only a good scrummager, but also strong at the breakdown. He jackals well, even though in this case, the man who eventually won the penalty for them was Zuliani. Turns out Fischetti is also good at riling up opposition players and getting them sent off. Not a bad guy to have in the team then. Now I'm guessing the red card affected our boys. The next attacking move we had, we saw a weak pass from Marnie Lebok and then Willy Leroux's kick pass attempt going out directly. I think the word Doc used last week was frustrated. And after half an hour in GQ, I was feeling more of that frustration. And at that same time, Thomas the Tank Detoy was replaced by Oxenchair. It didn't appear to be an injury replacement, but we've seen Russi and previously Jock Nienaber hook players in the first half of matches before. I think the reason became very apparent immediately. The very first scrum not only saw us destroy them, but would lead to Fundamadva's second try of the evening. Oxenchair, the best loosehead prop in the world, immediately making an impact. Marnie Lebok was never going to miss from right in front, and that also brought up 100 career test points for the fly half. Now listen, we have to talk about Grant Williams and Kanan Moody. Firstly, Williams is our best scrum half. His passing is slick, he has good pace, I think he kicks well, and his quickness in arriving at the breakdown and then speedily providing service to his backline is second to none in South Africa. Here, he breaks away from the ruck, beats a man, and puts through Moody, who beats two defenders and forces his way over the try line. Moody is a top right wing in our country, a top right wing at that, but we've heard for a while now that his future could actually be at outside centre. We were getting a chance to see him go at 13 here against quality opposition, and this was his first real opportunity to show what he can do. And he showed pace and power. Very impressive indeed. So, 24-0 at halftime. We saw glimpses of brilliance. We were mostly solid, not perfect, but the intensity was there. And after a bit of adjusting after the Visser red card, the boys settled and got back to duty. As for Italy, they showed the same physicality we saw in Pretoria. Their courage, guts, and determination was a signature of the series and very commendable. I thought they competed ferociously at the breakdown again this week. Zuliani, probably their best player in the first 40 here, or perhaps Fischetti. But Gonzalo Quesada would have liked a lot of that, except, of course, the score. And speaking of Fischetti, he won his team another breakdown penalty early in the second half under tremendous Springbok pressure. If you haven't been able to tell, I am an admirer of this man. Danilo Fischetti, what a player. And then we were down to 13 men. Vilko Lowe getting a yellow for head contact on Sebastian Negri. Head contact, not a head butt. Low to my eyes, making no effort to lower himself, which is not something you are going to get away with. Can I just say that Negri appeared to lean into it, but that is seldom going to help in these situations now. Any head contact is a yellow card now. And by the way, it was also under review, which meant the Boks were in serious danger of being down to 13 for 90% of the second half. It meant Asenatin Tlabakanye was on for his Springbok test debut. He would obviously go back off when Vilkolo came back on, and then at a later moment, Tlabakanye actually came on for the rest of the match. But it also meant we were going to indeed have to go with seven in the scrum. Because I don't think we have another hybrid player that can move in from the back line. And just as I was singing Fischetti's praises, he was yellow carded for coming in from the side. So it just shows no one is perfect. Edwill van der Merwe might have had a hat-trick in the 50th minute, but the Centurion Willy Leroux was blowing up for a forward pass. The Boks were playing advantage after an Italian offside, so a bit of a mess all round. Now, I want to tell you about Malcolm Marx's 51st minute try, which followed. We had a penalty from that Italian offside. Marnie kicked it out, and from the 5 meter line out, the ball was given quickly to Williams, who put the back line into action just as quickly. But from that breakdown, we saw Williams pass high to Ruan Nolkia, basically simulating a line out. And then what happened as a result is another maul is formed, but essentially in the middle of the park, and yes, we drove our way over for the try. We saw that same move late in the first half. It didn't lead to a try then, but this time it did. Magnificent innovation. And you could see the delight on Doc's face in the coach's box. And so in the 56th minute, Sasha Feinberg, Ngome Zulu, Kobus Reinach, Ethan Hooker, and another Kobus, Visser, were on. Great to see debuts for Hooker and Visser. Just a real shame that Kobus couldn't share the moment with his brother Jasper. Philly LaRue was one of those who came off, and I think, to be perfectly honest, he has had better tests in the green and gold. I thought he did a few things nicely. He played a role in one of the tries. He had one or two influential kicks. But I also counted a few mistakes, and so I can't say he had what you would call a five-star performance. But nevertheless, 100 test matches is a wonderful achievement, and Willie LaRue will go down as a Springbok legend. And what it also meant is that Sasha would be the one to go to fullback in this instance. Ivan Roos was also on the field for the box. So did the bomb squad make a bigger impact this week compared to last week? Early answer was no. Jan-Hendrik Wessels missing two of his first three lineouts, for example. Now that's just one element. I don't think we necessarily saw a drop in intensity or effort by the box, which is important. And the Azzurri actually enjoyed an extended period of time in possession and were making meters. And that put us under a bit of pressure, which was actually good to see, because we do want to be tested. And as I thought that, the Italians lost a line out on their own throw, so shooting themselves in the foot, I suppose. And yes, I think we did lose a bit of shape in the second half, not as much as we saw at Loftus, perhaps similar, but no, I would say better. I think this week was better. But what was similar, if you looked at the scoreline at halftime, you knew the match was effectively over as a contest. But we still want to see high levels of performance. Did we on this occasion? I think it fell short. But I also think it was much better than last week at Loftus. Forgive me if I'm repeating myself. To an extent, you might even say chalk and cheese. But I'm not sure if I would go that far. I felt just like last week, we lost some structure after the bomb squad came on. And sure enough, when we did return to more structured play, Makazole Mapimpi ran in for one of the easiest tries he has scored for his country. Penalty advantage to the green and gold, and Reinach set it free for Andre Esterhazen. Limbok sent it to Sasha Feinberg and Ngoma Zulu. Makazole Mapimpi with the most popular try of the evening. And there was time for one more try. Vessels going over. It was another line out, maul, drive, and the bomb squad hooker was the man to go over in the corner in the tightest of fashion. Waiting for that advance from the rolling maul of the Springboks. Jan-Hendrik Wessels,
corkscrewing for the line. The player is not in touch. You can award the try.
Okay, so the grounding is good.
Final score 45-0 and a clean sheet in Quebeca, or Port Elizabeth, as it is still known on the N2. Seven tries, seven unanswered tries for our world champions. And worth pointing out, Lebok eventually slotted 5 from 7, including 5 in a row. At international level, 5 out of 7 is about the minimum standard, I would say. So cannot complain about Marnie's goal kicking today. And if you've been paying attention, you might have noticed he seems to have changed his run-up a little bit as well. He has shortened it, not quite like the way Percy Montgomery had it, where basically Percy took one step and then kicked, but Marnie is now down to 3 steps before he kicks. And I think that that helps to improve his overall control. But we shall see how it goes in the next few test matches. before we reserve or before we make some kind of judgment call. But it does look, the early signs anyway, appear to be that things have improved on that front, which is great to see because his general gameplay is excellent. But like I've said before, if Marnie is your number one goal kicker, then I cannot have him in my team. This is the way I see it. But if Marnie is not my number one goal kicker, i.e. the fullback is kicking, the wing, the center, whatever, then I'm happy to have Marnie in the side. But if Marnie can achieve international standard average goal kicking, i.e. 80%, then I'm happy to have him in the side. You won't hear me complain. My overall feeling is that if we had seen this overall performance last week, we would have largely been saying things like, not bad for our first test of the season. We did well in many areas, and there's plenty of room for improvement too. Now, I guess when you factor in all the changes Doc made and how many players were making their first appearance of the season for us, then you could say, well, it was their first outing, and therefore it wasn't bad. And it's nice to know there's room for improvement. I'm going to give the Springboks a 7 out of 10 for this performance. We were much better than in Pretoria, but I think we still made too many mistakes, and I think that the Jasper Visser red card didn't help at all. If we had 15 on the field for the majority of the match, it may well have been an even bigger victory. So in that sense, I don't want to be too harsh, bearing things like that in mind. What I do want to see now is a big win over Georgia next week at the Mbombela Stadium. And man of the match? Well, I thought Marco van Staden had a great game. I was very happy with Grant Williams too. In fact, at halftime, I was leaning towards Williams, but obviously there's another 40 minutes to come. And I think if I factor everything in, I'm going to have to go with Edwill van der Merwe. Not every day of the week that I pick a backline player as my man of the match, guys, as you know, if you've been watching this channel for a while. He scored 2 tries, but he also harassed the Italian defense in the air, which was a joy to watch. And he also contributed a couple of telling tackles too. But what do you think? Are you satisfied that this was much better from the Springboks? Or do you feel there are still more questions than answers at this stage? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, as I mentioned, the Springboks beating the Italians here on my birthday. You know what? If you'd like to give me a birthday present, why not head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron? It starts from as little as $5 per month, and you get great benefits. You can win cool prizes like Springbok jerseys, brand new James Small biography that's coming out soon. You could maybe get a quarterly Zoom call with me. You could maybe even get me to write an ebook for you on your Springbok rugby player. Or you might just feel like, hey, happy birthday, Pete. Here's $5 or 10 or even more. Especially if you used to work at Eskom, okay? Then you know I'm expecting you to do the right thing. Any contribution would be greatly received, and I'd be very, very thankful if you would do that for me. And I look forward to your company next time.